Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Justin Klein listens to your questions and provides unbiased answers. Invest Talk, over 31 million downloads and counting.
I wanted to get your opinion on ticker symbol.
I just really like it as a long-term play.
I appreciate the show. Appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks, guys.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Welcome to Invest Talk. This is our June 24th, 2021 edition of Invest Talk, and I appreciate you all tuning in this hour. I'm excited to do my best to help you make the most out of this hour by answering your questions and giving you the right information that can help you make better decisions. I know it can be difficult. These times are challenging. They're complex. They're different than we've seen in decades, really in your lifetime, most likely. And that means that you have to take a step back, learn a little bit more, look further back historically, and not just rely on what you've seen over the past decade plus. Because this environment of higher inflation and fiscal dominance of the economy, this is something that really hasn't happened in my lifetime. But it is an era that comes along consistently. Everything's a cycle, okay? And being able to manage this cycle by using history with context and learning from that history. And that is vital to being able to manage your finances, your investments in this time, which is not unprecedented. Maybe unprecedented to you, but is not unprecedented in the context of history. And so that's why I'm here today, is to help you, give you some context, some data, some perspective, and help you make better investment decisions. And in doing that, I'm going to operate with my mission statement, which, as always, is independent thinking and shared success. So no matter what I'm speaking about, the market as a whole, a stock, a sector, an asset class, a strategy, I'm going to present it without bias. I'm just going to give you the facts that I have in front of me and the perspective of my 20 plus years of investment experience and the lessons I've learned by studying history. I've done this going back hundreds of years. You can get data that far back. And all of that helps inform how you can see the current market environment. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, it's all shades of the same. It's just being able to understand how it's similar, understand how it's different. So that's what I'm here to help you do. I'm Justin Klein. Of course, we encourage you to contact us with your finance and investment questions. And that means you can interact with us right now during our live stream program from 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave a question on our Anytime Invest Talk voice bank. Either way, that number never changes. 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first listener question now.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Luke. I'm calling from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I just wanted to know what your guys' thoughts are on DraftKings stock, ticker DKNG. The price has been pretty volatile lately, and I was wondering if this $49-$50 range is a good place to get in, and I want to know what your thoughts on the future of the company are. Thank you very much.
Right, this is DraftKings, and they operate an online sports betting platform. About a $40 billion market cap, and they're expected to lose $2.38 a share this year. And the good news is next year they're only supposed to lose $1.61. That's nice, isn't it? Well, the problem here is that it's still trading at pretty steep multiples. Enterprise value to revenue of 22 times. You can't calculate enterprise value to EBITDA or anything from a profit perspective because they're not profitable. And that's really the issue. Even their cash from operations remains negative, and it's a competitive space. So I just don't see the value here. Our value is much, much lower in the 20s. Now we're in the low 50s. So technically, it looks relatively weak as well, below all the major moving averages, 50, 100, and 200. And yet, it's had a little bit of bounce here from the lows in May, but it's a pretty meager bounce. And I think this will eventually roll over once again. And so I am passing on DraftKings. Now, my focus point today is concerning this report. Sales of newly built homes have slowed to their lowest pace in a year. In spite of the effects from the COVID-19 pandemic, new home sales were still 9.2% above where they were a year ago. So you're seeing that slowdown, but still stronger than what we've seen for 2020 and over the same time period. And we're going to cover this. What's driving the housing market now? What are the positive aspects that you can glean from reports and the current dynamics, not just right now, but going over the next few years, and what maybe will bring the market back down to a reasonable level of sales and price appreciation or potentially depreciation. So we're going to touch on all of that. So that's what's on my mind, but I want to touch on the market real quick. We had the S&P having a very modest update, 24 points. You had the NYSE, once again, one of the broadest index. That was up about 120 points. So a fairly strong day after a pause over the past couple of days. Remember that nice bounce rally on Monday? And then we had a couple of pause days, and now you had that continued bit of fall through. Now, momentum in the market is waning. Said that. You should expect the back half of this year to be more volatile, less trendy, had a very trendy up market for the first half, and you're starting to see that reflection of a back half of the economy of the 2021 where there's less stimulus and more, not say scrutiny, but more wondering what the Fed is going to do to limit some level of stimulus in the economy, especially for the housing market, which obviously we're going to touch on that. But really a nice follow through today after two pause days on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now we're heading into a quick break, and our question and answer session will continue in 1 minute. So hang on. Give me a call now with your finance or investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
The calendar. Summer is here. The market's been exhibiting volatility, so investors are exposed to vulnerability. But you can implement strategies to better protect your portfolio. Justin Klein is here now, and he's ready for your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen. Justin. This is Mike from Boston. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about CVR Energy, ticker symbol CVI. This is a petroleum manufacturing refining company currently trading at $17.34, and it looks like they're going to make around 94 cents a share based on my estimates for next year. They recently paid out a special dividend and just finalized that, so I own a small position in the company, and I'd be looking to expand. So if I could get your thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it on the podcast. Thank you.
All right, looking at CVR Energy, CVI is the symbol, and they are a manufacturer, refiner of petroleum and nitrogen fertilizer products, so in the energy space, in more than just your typical carbon energy sources, and I like that a bit of diversity there. Now, their business certainly struggled during the pandemic. They were making $3.55, an all-time high in 2019, but they lost $2.28 last year. Expect to lose $1.23 this year, but back to profitability and $0.82 a share next year. So certainly recovering, and I don't see why they wouldn't get back to some level of profitability. It looks like they did eliminate their dividend post-pandemic, and they did pay a recent special dividend, but hopefully they get back to paying a consistent dividend, because if you look at the business, they historically have had very strong, consistent profitability. Return on equity has hovered right around the low 20s over the longer term. And I like that on average. I like a business that can operate with consistent profitability. And yes, so far over the past 18 months or so, not so hot. But I think analysts, and rightfully so, see it getting back to solid, consistent profitability, and maybe returning to also solid, consistent dividend yield as well. So I like that. One thing you do have to understand, though, is that their dividend yield is kind of all over the place historically. They paid in 2013 of $2.25, then up to $3 in 2014, then they dropped it to $2 in 2015 for a few years, and then down to and then eliminated it last year. And the reason for this is because they do have a decent amount of debt on their balance sheet, and it's a hot capital intensive business refining these products. So that's really the biggest worry. It's still a modest company, $1.9 billion market cap. But I like the idea that this could return to the previous level of profitability. And this chart is looking consistently solid over the past, call it 6 months or so, really since energy bottomed. And so I'm going to say I like this. As long as you understand that the business maybe haven't changed, I'd really have to dig into this. I haven't dug into it deeply. But as long as you come out of it saying 12 months from now, 18 months from now, they should get back to pre-pandemic type of business operations, I think you'd be in good shape picking up CVR Energy, CVI. Now, my focus point today is concerning this report. Sales of newly built homes have slowed to their lowest pace in a year. Even though it's still a year over year up 9%, you had down 5.9% in the month of May to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 769,000 new single family homes. These are new homes. Northeast and the West, that's where you saw actual growth, and flat in the Midwest, but the South was down 14.5%. And the median sales price of new homes last month was $374,000, an 18% increase from last year. The average sales price was $430,000. Remember, there's median and then there's average. And you see that the average is being dragged up by the high-end homes, maybe million-dollar homes being sold and being built. And those are the ones that are justified to sell, build and sell in an environment where the lumber prices and input costs continue to go up. In fact, oriented standard board, which is the material used for most things like walls, flooring, roof decks, etc., that was up 380% year over year. And so if you're going to use those materials to build a home, you're probably going to build a more expensive home so you can build in better margins. Now, the supply sitting on the market of new homes is roughly 5.1 months, which is about average. So we've kind of fixed a bit of the supply-demand imbalance of new homes, maybe not on existing homes, but on new homes. And the supply will continue to come on. The amount of homes that are sold that have not started construction, so people have purchased but have not started construction, that's up 76% over the last year. So the pace of the building remains relatively slow as these home builders deal with difficult supply chain issues that are driving up the end cost. Now, existing home sales fell for the fourth consecutive month of May, down 0.9%. And the lack of inventory and falling affordability continues to squeeze the first-time home buyers. As though, you remember, they don't have a home to sell and use the equity to buy up. And so it's becoming a lot harder for that average person, new home buyer, to really get into the market. Now, you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. Your goal of financial freedom will require the right information and effective strategies. So let's talk about whatever is on your mind. Your participation is vital. So we're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
For investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. InvestTalk. Steve and Justin welcome your questions anytime on the InvestTalk listener line. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Paige from Sunnyvale. Thank you so much for your show, which I faithfully listen to and have for a few years. I am calling to see what you guys think of the trucking sector right now, in particular Old Dominion Freight Line, ODFL, or alternative trucking stock ArcBest, ARCB. Could you tell me what you think of the industry and between these two stocks, which you would recommend if you think that it's a good value right now? Always love it when you give a buy price. Thank you.
All right, looking at two companies, ArcBest and ODFL, which is Old Dominion Freight Lines. And let's take a look. Old Dominion is the third largest less than truckload carrier in the United States. They have more than 240 service centers and looks like they're doing fantastic recently. If you look at their earnings, they are up from $5.11 pre-pandemic, expected to make almost $9 a share next year. So their margins have increased dramatically. We know that this is an environment where a lot of products are moving. There was an increase in demand for products as opposed to services, as a lot of services were unavailable to be had. So a lot more money left over to buy things. Also, a lot of demand to buy things, to furnish your home for working at home, moving, maybe out of the area. And that certainly brings the demand for new furniture and new products to furnish homes, etc. So these are the things that's really driving the demand for trucking and the movement of these end products. Now, ArcBest is, let's take a look at what ArcBest does, because you want to make sure that you're comparing like for like companies. ArcBest is a logistics operator, and so it's more asset based. And it's similar, but different in certain ways as well. So you have to understand you're not comparing apples to oranges, but maybe different shades of an apple, right? A Gala apple to maybe a Honeycrisp. So they are a bit different, and you have to take that into account. Now, ArcBest earnings pre-pandemic were $287, expected to make almost $550 next year. So both have similar trajectories when it comes to their business currently. Now, what I like to do when I'm looking at these is look historically. What has the best profitability? ArcBest is, on average, return equity in the high single digits over the last decade, whereas Old Dominion, that's in the high teens, low 20s. So initially, I'm saying Old Dominion looks a lot better. They recently started paying a dividend back in 2017. I've been consistently raising that dividend every single year and still only paying out 10% of their earnings. So I'm going to go with Old Dominion. I think that's the better buy here. It's the better company over the long term. And so it has had a recent pullback here from a high of about 275. Now we're about 252, down about, down 8.7% from its 52-week high. And I'm going to go with Old Dominion. Now, I do think there could be a more significant pullback here back to around the 200-day moving average, around 220. That's an area that I would be more excited to pick up Old Dominion. And around that price, you get a reasonable forward-looking P ratio in the 20s. And I would be a lot more comfortable with that. So I'm definitely going with Old Dominion Freight Lines over ArcBest. Now let's keep things moving. Go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a call that came in earlier from a listener in Michigan.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Troy calling from Michigan. I just had a quick question about 3M, ticker symbol MMM. I've been watching it run sideways a little bit, at topping out at 202, and it dropped down to 192, and I picked up a small position, and I just wanted to see what you guys would say about that. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Thank you for all your wisdom and guidance. You have a wonderful and blessed day.
All right. Had a nice, solid pullback here, about 7.5% off of its 52-week high. Yields 3.1%. And 3M, another company that's been doing well in the midst of the pandemic. Earnings in 2019 were $8.88. Expect to make $10.61 next year. As we all know, it's also a consistent business, a very strong, consistent company. Historically, return equity trailing 12 months, 48%, and tends to be very, very high. So I like 3M. I like the business. I would say around 185, that's a better support area, but I like it overall. So I'm going to give 3M a thumbs up. I like that you're buying on a pullback. Now, there could be a little more in the near term, possibly, like I said, down to 185 or so, but that's still, it's in the ballpark, right? We're in 193 right now. Now, on the next Invest Talk, the story behind this headline: the secret power of Roth individual retirement accounts. Roth IRAs can be very different from traditional 401k plans, and we're going to cover that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein, and I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads in all the world, you've discovered Invest Talk.
Hey guys, I just started checking out your podcast and I've been really enjoying the content.
I was just wondering if you could explain what a spinoff is.
I'm interested in two IPOs.
And since Invest Talk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called Invest Talk?
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Josh calling from New York, first-time caller.
You know you listen, you know you should call, you know you want to call.
Would you consider equities to be a hedge against inflation?
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of Invest Talk callers have already experienced.
Thank you, and I appreciate what you guys do.
Don't forget to call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART. Markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Justin Klein is here now and ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Mohammed. I have a couple questions about ticker symbol VIAC, Viacom CBS. They're recently involved in the Archegos hedge fund collapse. I was wondering if this is a buy, hold, or sell. Thank you.
All right, looking at Viacom, and he's correct. This is one of the names that really took down Archegos, I think is how you pronounce the hedge fund. And they overlevered, and they did a lot of things that brought the stock price all the way up. Even if you just go to the end of the year, it was trading right around $35 a share, and it went as high as $100 a share in March, and then collapsed quickly at the end of March. And now we're at 42 and change. Now the question is this drop a buying opportunity? Now Viacom has earnings expectations of $4.07 a share next year, which is still down from pre-pandemic levels of $4.84. For everyone out there, what Viacom does is they own CBS in a joint venture with Time Warner. They also own Showtime and Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, VH1, Paramount, CMT, etc. So broad, diversified list of media assets. And you would think in this environment that they'd be doing well. Well, not so much. Their business has certainly stalled over the past number of years as more cord cutting and the rise of Netflix and other streaming platforms, and they've really kind of lagged, to be honest with you. And that's really the issue here, is they've continued to lag when it comes to their profitability. 2018, they were doing very, very well. But ever since then, the return on equity has fallen from 82% down to 17% trailing 12 months. And that's really the main issue here. Now, from an earnings perspective, earning $4 on a $42 stock, that's pretty cheap. So if you think that they can utilize their assets more effectively and pivot their strategy in an environment where there's continues to be more cord cutting and more streaming, then I think this is a good value. But you have to decide whether this is a value trap and that $4 in earnings will continue to deteriorate from a high in 2018 of $5.87. You continue to deteriorate, and 3 years from now, that $4 is now $2.50. Suddenly, this is an expensive stock at $42 a share, and it'll continue to go down. So it's definitely not my favorite of the media assets that are out there. They have some good quality content, but it's also not a slam dunk either. So it's not bad. It's not great. I don't love it. It's just kind of eh for me, because I don't see a clear-cut strategy that I have high confidence will work. Could work, just not high confidence. Now, you've heard me mention that we get calls from all across America. And here comes a question from a listener in Idaho from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Nick calling from Idaho. I have a question about Sunrun, R-U-N. It had a high volume up the day on June 17th, and it's down about 50% from its January high. And I'm wondering if this is capitulation indicating a bottom and a buy point. Thanks for everything you guys do. Bye.
Well, I like that you're looking at high volume and trying to find capitulation points for a stock that's been down, because that oftentimes is a great buying opportunity, especially if you have confidence in the business and the long-term trajectory of the company. In this case, though, this is after it bottomed pretty substantially in mid-early May. It was right around $40 or so. And this high volume move on, like you said, June 17th, was actually a breakout above the 50-day moving average. And so this, to me, wasn't capitulation. This was a breakout on high volume, and we've continued higher in that sense. Even though it was down $3 today, we're at $52.84 at the close today. I kind of like this recent move. Now, it does need to consolidate here a bit more to break through that 100-day moving average, which currently sits at 54.11. So technically, there's a lot of improvement. Like you said, that high volume move, the MACD is starting to move above the zero line, which is positive as well. And if you get more talk about stimulus packages that will support the solar industry, and that's what Sunrun does. They are engaged in the installation and leasing of solar energy systems to residential customers, which is a competitive market, to be honest with you. And that's the big question here is, how are they going to compete in a competitive market? They were doing very well. Around 2017, they made 86 cents a share. But in 2020, lost $1.24. Clearly, that was COVID-related. People can go around. I have people I know, friends, that they're in the solar industry. They do a lot of door knocking and selling solar systems door to door. And you can do that during the pandemic. And that certainly opened up and helped their business over the past couple of quarters, where revenue last quarter is up 59%. So the question is, can you get this returning to something a year, 2-3 years from now, to at least a dollar in earnings? You're still trading at 52 times, a potential years out view of maybe earnings. But maybe analysts are offside as well. Analysts are expecting to lose 31 cents next year. They were profitable pre-pandemic. So I'm kind of giving this, I kind of like this recent breakout. I still don't like that they don't make money. I still don't like that it's a very competitive industry. And even when they were making money, their cash flows were negative. They've been issuing a lot of shares, from 55 million shares outstanding in 2015 to 160 million last trailing 12 months. 2020 is 140 million. So they continue to issue more shares. And that's my issue here as well, is that their profitability is just all over the place. But if you want access to the solar industry, this is one of the most prominent ways to get exposure to continued solar panels on roofs, which is, I think, a trend that has years and years to go. And governments are likely to support, through tax credits and other things, to this type of green initiative. And so to me, it's a mixed bag here. But I like the technicals. I like the industry. I just don't like the performance of the underlying fundamentals. And that's why it would make me, I struggle to pull the trigger on something like this. But hey, if you are willing to take that risk, the technicals are at least lining up. This call came in earlier on the InvestTalk Anytime line at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Bennett from Georgia. Can you guys take a look at stock ticker KO? Thank you.
All right. This is Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola's had a strong run, like the rest of the market. 52-week low is $43.50. Now we're at $54, just barely off the 52-week high. Little modest pullback here over the past few weeks. Earnings next year is supposed to be $2.36. Still trading at a high P/E ratio of 27 in a business. I don't think I need to tell you what Coke does. It's Coke. $234 billion market cap. Nice, solid 3.1% dividend yield. But you're trading at pretty high multiples for a low growth business. Remember, you don't just look at multiples in a vacuum. You have to understand them in context to their longer term growth trajectory. And Coke has been trading at a high multiple for many years now, but it's been consistently a slow grower. It's mature business. There's not a whole lot more for it to do on the upside. When it comes to revenue, you're talking about currently revenue growth year over year about 5%. And that's about in line with their average growth rate over the last three decades. So it's a consistent grower. It's a slow grower, but it grows about the overall growth of the overall economy. Nominal GDP growth. And so, you know, do I get excited to hear enterprise value to revenue 8x, which is near historic high? Yeah, right near historic high. Hasn't been this high since the dot-com bubble, 2000. So I just don't see a lot of value here. Doesn't get me excited. I think there's better use for the money. But if you're looking to kind of clip that nice 3% coupon, hey, you'll do okay. Now, 2021 feels like it is moving fast. I know we have less than a week left in the second quarter. How many more trading days? 4 more trading days. That's it in the second quarter. And this market is starting to see a bit of volatility. And I've said this before, you have to be prepared for a second half of the year with a bit more variability to the returns that you're going to get from various asset classes and sectors. And so I think it's worth taking a minute to let you know that you can reach out to us. We can help you in some way, whether that's a quick conversation about a bit of advice on a position or the portfolio as a whole, a full portfolio review, which we do for free via telephone or go to meetings. And whether we're here on air or off air, we're providing unbiased guidance and practicing parallel investing with our clients. So we'd be happy to discuss anything that's on your mind. And you can reach out to us through investtalk.com or call our KPP financial offices in Irvine, California. Talk to us just for a few minutes, like I said, and we can help you. Now we're here taking your calls live. If you dial our toll-free number, 888-99-CHART. Next up, we will be answering a question that came in from our InvestTalk listener line from Ireland. We'll play that next.
This is InvestTalk, made possible by KPP Financial. where principals and InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are independent financial advisors. For clients, they are fiduciaries. Steve and Justin have a duty and a commitment to always place the interests of their clients ahead of the firm. This is different from the way many other organizations operate. And one way you can realize the benefit of an association with KPP Financial is to know that KPP practices parallel investing. This means that the personal investment accounts of KPP principals participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. It's an important difference. You can learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Or reach out to Steve Peasley and Justin Klein by emailing or calling their Irvine, California office. The InvestTalk radio and podcast continues now. The phone lines are open. Call with questions, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Barry from Ireland here. Just wondering what you thought of NanoX Imaging. And this is NNOX. Love the show. Thanks very much.
Oh, this is NanoX Imaging. They are out of Israel. And they're engaged in the business of manufacturing medical imaging systems. $1.3 billion market cap. And do I see any revenue? This is a zero revenue company. So that's my issue here, is I don't like these type of businesses. This is recently IPO'd. And you can see after the lockup period, 6 months or so, that was IPO'd in August of last year. Lockup period was earlier this year. And suddenly it fell out of bed from a high of $90 a share. Now it's down to $29.84. Its 52-week low is down at $19.05. So it's had a nice bounce from there in May, but it still remains in a downtrend with no revenue and losing money, and this sounds just like a story stock. And I'm not an investor in story stocks. I want to know that there's actually a business here that makes sense, and I have no indication that's the truth. So this looks like actually a pretty good short. Now let's try to fit in one more question now at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Donald, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I had a question about a company called Coupang, CPNG. They're projected like an Amazon style of e-commerce company from in Korea. I was wondering if you think it's a good buy for forward possible, you know, a good company in the future. So I appreciate you guys looking at this and give me your feeling on, is it worth throwing some money at to see if it's going to turn out to be something like an Amazon? I'll listen for the answer on the podcast. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, this is Coupang, and this is out of South Korea, and they are an e-commerce platform. They sell apparel, electronics, footwear, food products, furniture, nutrition supplements, and a lot of other types of products. Pretty big company from a market cap perspective, $66 billion. And if you're looking at earnings, last quarter were $4.2 billion. Pretty good, up 74% year over year, still losing money. But technically, it just continues to be in a downtrend. And that's my main issue here, is that it's just, it's ever since it IPO'd in March, it hit a high of $67 and continues to just grind lower. And although they're expected to lose less money in 2022 than this year, they're still losing money. It's a $66 billion company. If I'm going to pay $66 billion for a company, I want to know that they're actually going to make some money. And I don't see that yet. Now, a lot of the data, because it's such a new company, is not all there. So I would really need to get a bit more data, but the technicals aren't lining up for me. And therefore, I'd pass. All right. Now we're heading into our final break, so give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Let's take a quick look at your financial to-do list. At the top, make that phone call to the InvestTalk Anytime listener line. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will provide unbiased answers to your questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, gentlemen. This is Andrew calling from Utah. I've got a question about kind of portfolio management. 32 years old, I consider myself fairly aggressive. And, you know, over the last year, I've gotten some pretty good returns in the market, and I've taken a lot of profits. And in my portfolio, I've started to grow a significant cash position of about 45-50% of my overall portfolio. I'd just love to get your thoughts on, you know, how to best allocate that going forward. Is it something I should dollar cost average? If you guys can give me some advice on what to do with those profits, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, the first is to have an allocation target. Understand how you want your portfolio to look. What is your end goal for the portfolio? Is it to be more conservative? Is it to get aggressive again? And you want to own certain companies, certain positions, and maybe you buy those companies on a pullback as you see them drop 5, 10, 15%. So really the end message is have an allocation target that you can start allocating towards. It doesn't have to be all at once. We do that with clients. Clients come in. We don't put all the money to work at once. It takes months sometimes to get onto our full allocation target for a particular strategy, and we'll buy those at opportunistic times. So what that end goal will be, it's hard for me to tell you that without understanding your end goals, your risk tolerance, etc. But you have to figure that out for yourself and then start that allocation process. Great question, and glad you've taken some profits and maybe rethinking about your portfolio. Now, let's touch quickly before we close on retirement. And there are a couple strategies that you can have in retirement. The first is to invest your investable assets for income, dividend stocks, bonds, etc. And there's also a strategy which is invest for total return, meaning that you don't care about what the income is to the portfolio as long as the portfolio value is growing. And you sell positions or take money out as needed, as opposed to just pulling that income out of the portfolio. Now, it was a great study. This is from Morningstar, and they had some assumptions for this portfolio. Annual return about 7%. 8% standard deviation, 3% annual inflation rate, and a 30-year time horizon upon retirement. Now, what they looked at are a few things that can help you up your withdrawal rate from 4% and maybe go higher. Now, the first thing is improving portfolio returns, going from 7% to 8%, and then maybe dropping standard deviation, dropping that volatility a bit. And both of, if you do those combined, increase from 7-8% in your return and then dropping standard deviation from 8-6%, you can actually increase your overall withdrawal rate to close to 5% per year from 4%. And this is inflation adjusted. So you, instead of starting at 4%, you would start at 5%. Now, problem is, you don't know that you're going to outperform. You don't know that your volatility is going to be lower than expected. That's always difficult to figure out. Next, what's under in your, more of your control, which is working longer. If you just work 2 extra years, you can up that 4% withdrawal rate to 4.7%. Why? Because you get to save more, grow the money more aggressively over those final couple of years. And your time horizon is only 28 years versus the 30 years. So that can help dramatically as well. One other interesting that they looked at when studying actual retiree actions is that instead of increasing their consumption with inflation, they actually lag inflation. So if inflation is 2%, on average, they only increase their withdrawal rate, their expenses by 1% a year. And this has a profound impact over time, almost the same as if you earned an extra 1% from your portfolio. So never assume that, but understand that that is likely a possibility as well. So there's a lot of ways that you can squeeze more out of your retirement dollars, and you have to understand all those levers. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And as always, investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial.